On episode 421 of the 40 Plus Fitness Podcast, we meet Kyle Jones and discuss a up-and-coming new protocol called cryotherapy. You can find the full show notes for this episode at 40plusfitnesspodcast.com/421.
Have you decided you're ready to make a change? To reclaim your health and fitness? The 40 Plus Fitness Podcast is here for you. I'm your host, Alan Meisner. I'm an NSAM certified personal trainer with a specialization in corrective exercise and fitness nutrition. Let me be your coach as you find your way on your health and fitness journey. All right, let's go.
Over the years, a lot of things in the health and fitness space come and go. We call those fads. And, you know, rightfully so, people will try something new. It will either work a little bit for them or it won't. And then it'll just kind of fade away. Well, there's something that's going on now. It's kind of growing. And I actually don't think this is a fad. I think this is something that's going to stick. And it's called cryotherapy. So I wanted to bring on someone who was an expert in cryotherapy. And I managed to find Kyle Jones. He's an entrepreneur operating a company called iCryo. It's a series of basically franchise businesses that do cryotherapy. And they're growing pretty quickly. So I'm really excited to introduce you to Kyle. And we can discuss cryotherapy so you'll understand what this is and how it could work for you. So with no further ado, here's Kyle Jones. Kyle, welcome to 40 Plus Fitness.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going well. It's going well. I have been following cryotherapy for quite some time. You know, I love this stuff. I geek out on the health and fitness stuff and things that are going on. And obviously, as things go, you know, there's the early the people who are early on. You know, they're going to be the early adopters that are out there looking at these different technologies, different approaches. And so I like to kind of know what's happening because typically, that kind of stuff starts hitting mainstream, you know, I don't know, 4 or 5 years later. So I've been reading and hearing about cryotherapy for years, along with some other therapies that are things that are coming along. So I'm kind of excited to see these things out there, you know, and particularly where now we've got a lot of evidence, that scientific evidence, that these things are actually doing some good. So your company is called iCryo. They offer the cryotherapy services along with others. Could you take just a moment to kind of talk about what cryotherapy is and the different types and, you know, how it came about?
Yeah, most definitely. So it backdates all the way into the 70s. There was a Japanese scientist that was trying to treat rheumatoid arthritis and fibromyalgia, but doing it in a natural way to kind of help accelerate the body's healing power and the mechanisms behind the way the body, you know, moves through any modality as far as healing is concerned. And what he did was he was administering people in sub-zero temperatures using liquid nitrogen as a cooling application. And as the years progressed, as they performed and perfected the technology, we have machines and chambers to date that are just far superior than really anything else you'd see in the wellness market in reference to convenience of a therapy. And as far as what you get out of that therapy from an immediate benefit standpoint. So it's kind of funny, you know, we live in this instant gratification society. And when you go and look at a recovery mechanism or something that's of an all natural standpoint, normally it takes some time, right? Normally you're here to live a healthy lifestyle, to eat healthy, to, you know, whether it's going to work out at the gym, you got to spend hours and hours upon weeks to do these things. And when I looked at cryotherapy, it's a 3-minute session. So it's very fast. And the benefits are immediate. So as soon as you step out of the chamber, you start to feel the effects from that session immediately. So we're capturing the convenience of it being a very short time window for people to have to allocate each day to do this. But even better, it's an immediate benefit. And so wrapped up in a nutshell, cryotherapy, we use liquid nitrogen to cool the chambers down, gets us to sub-zero temperatures. We can set the setting of the machine to a few different levels based on skin sensitivity. So the hottest, I always tell people and I laugh when I say the hottest, but the hottest the machines can go are roughly around negative 150 degrees Fahrenheit. When I say that, people are just blown away. they're trying to figure out how
those
they
are those experiments where they throw coffee in the air and it freezes.
Yeah. So when I say that, people kind of give me the deer in the headlights look on, you know, how am I able to stand in a chamber that's negative 150 degrees Fahrenheit. And that's at the hottest level. The coldest that we can get some of these chambers down to would be around negative 240 degrees Fahrenheit. So we're talking about extreme cold. Now, the interesting part about this is nitrogen is a repellent type molecule. So it actually hits the skin and it reflects right off. So we're not actually penetrating the surface of the skin and getting inside the muscle tissue, which I'll get into the science later around why ice isn't really effective as much as we thought it would. But so we use liquid nitrogen, acts as a repellent, hits the skin and reflects off. So we're essentially tricking the mind into going in that fight or flight response for active recovery. So when your body hits that fight or flight mode, it thinks, you know, in essence, it thinks you're going into to kind of like a dying mode, right? Right. Your body's in shock. You're shocking the central nervous system. So what it does is it rushes all the blood from the extremities to the core. It does this because we have amputees walking the planet today. So we know that we can live without our arms and our legs. But the one thing we can't live without is our vital organs. So it pushes all the blood to the core, basically to save itself is kind of the layman's way to think about it. And then after your 2 to 3 minute session of cryotherapy is done, that blood is enriched during that process and reoxygenated, and it goes back out to your extremities. And it just provides the body with a sense of euphoric feeling. There's a lot of serotonin, melatonin, and endorphins that are released through this process. So you have a kind of that runner's high that people could experience. You get that mood enhancement from the serotonin release. And one thing that I do cryotherapy for that most people don't realize it can really provide a benefit is sleep. You take a look at people not allowing their bodies not allowing melatonin to release properly, and they're restless because of that. And so what do? We go get a prescription for some sleeping medication, right? And then it alters us in different ways that we didn't want in the first place. So it the benefits of cryotherapy are really, really across the board. Anything from stress, anxiety, depressional issues, that's all cognitive rehab, right? That's all mental. And I always try to explain to people, cryotherapy is not just an athletic recovery tool. It's there to enhance any part of your life that you're really having trouble with.
So, you know, I was very, very active growing up and all the way through my 20s. And then I sort of took a little hiatus from the whole athletic aspects. But I turned my ankle really, really bad when I was about 20, I guess 26, 27, to the point where the doctors, when you go in, they're like, oh, it's broken. And then it was like, oh, it would have been better if you broke it because you've done a whole lot of damage. And ice and contrast therapy were a couple of things that, you know, we did. You said that cryotherapy is different than ice. Can you kind of compare and contrast those so that we can kind of understand why this is, even though you're doing something localized, it's not exactly the same general effect?
Yeah, definitely. So ice is a penetrating cold. So what ice does is when you apply it to the skin, it actually penetrates the surface of the skin. The cold gets actually in the muscle tissue. Really, everybody harnesses inflammation differently. So for a physician to say, you need to do ice for 20 minutes on your knee and I need to do ice for 20 minutes on my knee, really, that's just kind of the shotgun approach to the rehab portion. He doesn't really know the exact amount of time because everybody recovers in a different time period, right? So realistically, if you do ice for even a minute longer than you're supposed to, you can start to damage that muscle tissue because you're applying the cold for way too long. And in doing that, you start to damage the recovery process. So you're doing the opposite effect of what you were intending to do in the first place. Now with cryotherapy, using liquid nitrogen, as I said before, is it acts as a repellent. So it hits the skin and reflects off. Therefore, you're getting all the benefits of a cold therapy without any negative side effects of actually damaging the tissue. So it's a much more, and not just enhanced version of cold therapy or cold recovery, but it's a safer mechanism to do what you're trying to do. And I think when physicians in the medical field adopts it here in the United States, it will be part of a protocol for chiropractors, for PTs, for orthos, really anybody that's dealing with some type of a pain or an inflammation type issue. The nice thing about cryotherapy is we don't just offer whole body cryotherapy, but we offer localized treatments as well. well. And so with the localized unit, it's a completely different machine. We can actually port the nitrogen into a hose and centralize it to a specific area, whether it be a wrist, an ankle, a low back, a knee. So we can really target areas, not just for pain, but for recovery as far as post-operation. So if somebody gets a shoulder replacement or a total knee replacement, and we can spot treat a specific area. Now, realistically, you would want to do the whole body cryotherapy over the localized because it provides a systemic reaction. It allows the body to act as one rather than just focusing on a single area. But realistically, they're both very effective mechanisms for healing.
So as a healthy person, I mean, so the healing I could see, as a healthy person, you know, you talked about some benefits, the sleep, the stress, and things like that. Can we kind of go through some of the basic benefits a little bit deeper? You know, I'm like a big fan of anything that's going to reduce inflammation because that's kind of a trigger for most of the diseases we have today. Can you talk about some of those things and just let us know how cryotherapy actually does that?
Yeah, most definitely. So everybody's going to get a different benefit from cryo. And when somebody asks me if they're a candidate for cryotherapy, the very first thing I jokingly ask is if they're a living, breathing human being. And I say that because every person that walks the planet harnesses some level of inflammation. Now, it's kind of a double-edged sword because inflammation is necessary, but it's not necessary in a chronic standpoint. So the first step to healing is actually inflammation. So inflammation is required to heal. But what we're trying to do is minimize that inflammation process to where you can heal faster, right? So a lot of people don't understand that the actual first stage of healing in any area of the body is inflammation. So it's a necessary component. We just want to minimize that window and how long that inflammation is actually there. Now, for people that deal with chronic inflammation like rheumatoid arthritis or psoriasis or fibromyalgia, things that are just chronic that they deal with their entire life, there's no cure, but there has to be a way to treat these things. That's where cryotherapy really comes into the picture. Now, what people really don't understand is cryotherapy is working on an internal level. So it creates a systemic reaction inside the body, and we're essentially moving blood external or internally from one point to another. So you're really taking into account the central nervous system, the way that the mind communicates with the rest of the body. I think the interesting part is these chambers that we're dealing with today are total body chambers. So you actually walk into a space where you're covered from head to toe. There's a nerve in the back of the neck called the vagus nerve. It's one of the largest communication tools in the entire body from the brain to the rest of the body. And interacting that with sub-zero temperatures and cold actually triggers that response. So we're able to take the body from just a normal recovery standpoint and multiplying it immediately through a cryotherapy session. So during a session, your mind is talking to the rest of the body and it's trying to figure out where it's harnessing the inflammation the most. And it's a very interesting tool that we tell all of our guests. During a cryotherapy session, you may feel colder in certain spots opposed to other spots in the body. It's because the cryotherapy is actually recognizing where the inflammation is being harnessed and it's attacking that specific area. So it could feel colder in your knees if you have bad arthritis in your knees. It could feel colder in your lower back if you have metal plates running in your spine. It depending on where you're harnessing the pain and the inflammation, that's where it's really going to feel most aggressive during the session. So doing it from a physical standpoint, most people don't look at the mental capabilities that come from the benefit side. We can tolerate things as far as headaches, migraines. Those are some things that you deal with on a daily basis that are directly correlated to inflammation. Those are things that cryotherapy can definitely help with. So when I talk about how the number one benefit is inflammation for the guests, most people don't understand inflammation is tied to almost every single issue a living person deals with on a daily basis from a physical and a mental standpoint. If you have sleeping issues or even women with uneasy or not scheduled menstrual cycles, you're dealing with chronic stress, anxiety, depression. A lot of these things are triggered because the body's not naturally releasing endorphins like it should, or it's not naturally releasing serotonin like it should. And I think the one phrase that we started using years ago is cryotherapy unlocks the body's healing power. It unlocks what it's harnessing and not releasing on its own. So it's a very interesting concept to see when the body isn't properly releasing things like it should, as long as you can just shock it through a cryotherapy session and essentially trigger that response and allow the brain to communicate with the rest of the body by targeting that vagus nerve, we're able to literally heal the body on its own, which is an amazing technique to be able to do that.
Yeah, you know, the benefits are definitely there. Recently in the press, and probably not a good subject matter to be talking about, but Antonio Brown, who used to play for my loved Pittsburgh, went crazy, and then he ended up at the Raiders. He actually used cryotherapy as a part of his, you know, athletic recovery process, but he burned his feet and then he couldn't perform. And so you kind of hear these, I'm not going to say horror stories, but you hear a story like that, and you're like, oh, there are some risks to cryotherapy that I need to be aware of. Can you kind of talk about some of those risks?
Yeah, and that's one thing that I saw very early on. I was actually pursuing my doctorate in physical therapy when I came across cryotherapy. And so I knew from a protocols and a safety procedure standpoint, a training system had to be put in place. And it was extremely interesting when I looked into cryotherapy and I looked into equipment and the process of purchasing equipment, there was no training established. There were no guidelines. There wasn't a standard process of care. There was no certification. There was no schooling that was required. Literally, Joe and Jane Smith on the side of the street could go purchase a cryo machine today and start a cryotherapy company. And to me, from a physical therapy mindset, understanding that any therapy that's done at any point in time without any education or training could be very detrimental to the person that you're administering this to. And so we took it as an advantage early on for our company to create the very first training platform for cryotherapy services. And we still use that platform today to train every single one of our staff and every single one of our locations across the country. I saw this as an issue when it first came out. There are cases all across the nation of user error. And it's not a lack of these people not caring about the business or not caring about the industry. It's just a lack of knowledge, right? It's a lack of understanding that it's a therapy, it's cryotherapy, and it has to be treated as such. So that's one thing that I think the industry has a few years to really grab a hold of. I'm kind of pushing with the rest of my company the safety side of the industry. If I could, to be honest, I would probably start a school. I'd start an institute of some kind and train people on the safety behind cryotherapy, the different devices that we use, and most importantly, liquid nitrogen, because that's where these burn cases are coming from. With the Antonio Brown situation, that's also something that I really wasn't afraid of. Those cases, even though I don't like to hear about them, and I feel really bad for Antonio and all the other people that have suffered these issues, is it kind of brings more light, awareness, and visibility to the industry. And I'm hoping that one day a governing body will either be created or somebody will come in from the government and say, hey, we really need to pay attention to this, right? And I'm pushing for that because realistically, we're prepared for it. We have the safety protocols and the systems and the training manuals that can sustain really back that if the government were to ever get involved, we would be ready for that.
Well, I'm a fan of not having the government involved in the industry kind of doing the right thing in the first place. What are some of the things, I mean, obviously burns, but beyond, you know, burning a part of your body, what are some other things that could go wrong with a session like this? If you're not dealing with professional people that understand what they're doing.
Yeah, I mean, we are dealing with nitrogen. So there's nitrogen in the air that we breathe today, but there's only a certain percentage of nitrogen, right? So the air that we breathe is a certain percent oxygen, a certain percent nitrogen, but it's not 100%. Dealing with 100% nitrogen, there is a time period where if you breathe in too much, you could get a little dizzy. If you breathe in even more, you could actually pass out because you have lack of oxygen to the brain. Now, realistically, if you breathe in nitrogen, are you going to die? No, you're not. You'd have to consume a large portion of nitrogen consecutively to really get to that point. So it's not impossible, but it's definitely a slim to none chance. Outside of that, those are really the two biggest issues that you can encounter when dealing with cryotherapy is a burn case, which we've seen that happen way too many times, which is why we're trying to help steer the safety side of the industry and control that a little bit. But outside of that, you know, really just getting dizzy or maybe passing out in some instance. But it's actually quite interesting. I'm glad you brought this up. But there's new technology on the market from Poland where the chambers are actually separating the nitrogen from the oxygen and exhausting out the nitrogen molecules and pushing in the cold air to the chamber. So it's breathable air technology.
Okay. So you think they'll still be able to get down to the same temperatures with an air mixture versus just a pure nitrogen mix?
They have. We're actually using that unit right now in our corporate location. We're in the process of swapping all of our existing locations to this newer unit. Number one, because of the safety side of it, right? So understanding that when the guest is inside the chamber, they're breathing in just cold air, right? It's nothing that's going to allow them to pass out. In doing so, since we're not doing a direct nitrogen into the chamber, this lowers the risk for burn cases tremendously. I have actually tested this machine out for almost a year before we rolled it out into the rest of our locations, and we rolled it out into our franchise model. And I can say right now, I've encountered the coldest temperatures this chamber could possibly do, and there was zero side effects of even running into a burn issue. So it was. It's almost like we just came out with the iPhone X of the cryo chamber is the way I think about it. It's just the far superior model in the terms of it's extremely safe. And so that's why we decided to make a transition.
Okay. So it's important for someone to do a little bit of research before they pick their therapist or their location they're going to go, just to kind of figure out what type of equipment they're doing, how their people understand the use of that equipment. And, you know, obviously, the reviews and things like that are going on with them, just to make sure they're getting a good therapist.
Yep. And I think that's one thing that people aren't doing right now that I encourage everybody to do a little bit more is not just research, not just online research, but call the place of business where you're thinking about doing these cryotherapy service. Walk in, ask your questions. If the person that's responding to your questions can't answer them thoroughly, or they're fumbling, or they feel like they don't have legitimate answers and they're kind of making stuff up on the fly, leave and go somewhere else. Because I think the problem that I have right now is most people are getting a bad taste in their mouth from cryotherapy, not because the therapy isn't working properly, but because, number one, they aren't being run through the process appropriately. Number two, they're not given the correct explanation and the benefits of the service. So they don't even know what they're doing it for. Realistically, they probably just saw LeBron James or Floyd Mayweather or an athlete talk about it, so they wanted to try it out. But just conveying lack of communication in terms of conveying the correct material, walking them through the safety measures as far as how to properly, you know, take a guest, walking in the door and administer a cryotherapy session. So I really just think there needs to be an enhancement of awareness in terms of when somebody's looking into whole body cryotherapy, they're just asking the right questions. And even if they aren't the right questions, ask any question that comes to mind and make sure that you're getting the right service.
Cool. Now, let's say someone has, they know they've got some inflammation, they've got some joint pain and arthritis in various parts of their body, and they want to do the whole body cryotherapy. When they walk into the clinic, what does a typical session look like for them? And, you know, roughly what is this going to cost them?
So for the very first time, a few of our centers operate on different pricing structures based on where they're located in the nation, right? We offer the very first session at an intro rate. It's a discounted rate because we know you've never tried this before and it's new to you and you want to experience it, but you don't want to break the bank, right? So some of our location, we have a special of $9.95 for your very first time. So $10. Really, the barrier to entry is extremely low, and we wanted it that way because we want you to try it. And we know it's an unknown, and we want you to experience it first before you really start spending money. Some of our locations and most of the industry will charge anywhere from $20 to $30 for the first session, which in my opinion, that's still extremely low for something that's providing the amount of benefits it is. And then after your very first session, it's something where we sit down with the guests and we try to customize that package to them. Not everybody needs to do cryotherapy every single day. But realistically, we want to know what you're coming in for so we can help design a plan and a membership specifically to you. We have four different tiers of pricing as far as what our memberships come out to. So based on those four different membership levels, we try to customize that membership directly to that person that's looking and inquiring about doing cryotherapy throughout the weeks or the months. And so I think it's really crucial to understand what that person is doing it for. And then we help educate them on how many times they should be doing it a week or a month, and then get them to understand there's a certain reason why we're recommending this membership. Most single sessions, after you've done your first session, we charge $50 a single session. The industry standard, that's still actually pretty low. I know a lot of cryotherapy centers across the nation charge upwards of $60, $70, $80, $90 a session. Me personally, I think they're just gouging the guest. I don't think it's appropriate to charge that much. I do think there is a great value to this service, but what business owners in the cryotherapy space are not reminding themselves about is it's a therapy. So any therapy that's done consecutively over an extended period of time, you're going to see more benefits of, right? If I were to do a massage once a year opposed to once a month, which one do you think I'm going to get the better benefit from? Probably the once a month, right? Because I'm paying attention to my body and I'm helping the issues that I'm dealing with on a regular basis. So I always encourage people to try to fit in cryotherapy as much as they can the very first month they start to try it, because that's going to do two things. Number one, it's going to get them to understand the real benefits they're going to gain for it, because they're obviously doing it on a reoccurring basis. Number two, it's going to get them to recognize how they can actually fit this in their schedule if they're going to continue doing cryotherapy. So it really just points out a lot of good points in the picture of, you know, how often should I be doing cryo and what are the main reasons I should be doing it for?
Okay. Now, I saw a video on, I think it was on your website, that where you had a guy kind of coming in and he was walking in for his very first session. And so, you know, there was some guidance. There was someone there talking him through, okay, you know, do this, do that. Can you kind of talk through that? How when I go into the session, you know, how am I dressed? What am I doing? What am I mm-hmm. feeling? And then what are the things? Like I noticed you told him, keep your head up so you're breathing more oxygen than nitrogen, that type of thing. Could you kind of talk through that just so that we could feel the mechanics of a session?
Yeah, most definitely. So first-time guests, every single time that we encounter a first-time guest, it's exactly the same. So number one, we want to make that instant connection. We have a culture here in iCryo that I believe is very different from others. We like to make relationships with our guests. We like to establish that we're not just here to sell you on something. We're here to get to know you and to actually help you. There are some deep-rooted issues that people deal with that they get extreme pain or headaches or some stuff they're not willing to share with just the average person. So you really got to get to know these people. So the first time guests, we make that instant connection. We have a conversation with them for about a minute or two on why they're coming in the first place, how they hear about us, what are the issues you're dealing with. And that specialist actually takes them on a tour of the entire building. We offer six different services in each one of our centers. Each service provides a different benefit to whatever they're looking to accomplish in their recovery goals. So in doing that, we give about a 5 to 8 minute tour. We explain all the services that we have one by one and the benefits that they can gain from each service. After the tour is done, we bring them back to the counter. And it's funny, a lot of times they may have come in for a cryofacial or a whole body session or a compression therapy session. And after we take them through that tour and we give them some education, they realize, wow, you know, there's maybe two or three or even four services that I want to do now, right? It's not just the one service that I came in for. But specifically, if they're coming in for whole body cryotherapy, we get them to fill out a waiver and an information sheet so we can better understand some of the issues that they're dealing with. We set them up with robe, socks, slippers, and gloves. On the newer chambers, we actually designate a face mask that covers their mouth and their ears. We do that because you're breathing in extreme cold, and we want to be able to block that barrier of cold from the esophagus just for another extra level of protection. It's really not required, but we like to take safety to the next level. And so in doing that, we provide a face mask, which you can see on some of our newer videos or pictures or website material.
Yeah, this, so guy, we designated, this guy was recording a video, so he wouldn't have wanted his mouth covered. But yeah, cool.
Yeah. Yeah. So we designated dressing room to that guest. We put them in there with their socks, rubs, robe, gloves, and slippers. They strip down from head to toe. Usually you can wear undergarments. There just can't be any moisture or metal. If there's metal, it's obviously going to provide a burn. Like a necklace or ring, something that's metal, they have to remove those. And then any undergarments have to be removed if they're sweaty. So sometimes people will come in directly from a workout or a run or, you know, a long day at the plant or a construction worker, and they've got sweaty underwear or, you know, sweaty undergarments. So we ask them to remove those, and then we supply them with clean and dry undergarments that they can do the session with. So after they get dressed, the cryotherapy specialist brings them over to the chamber, explains basically how the operation is going to work. It's a 3-minute session, so it's extremely fast, which people love. We actually created what we call the commandments of cryotherapy, and they're 10 commandments. It's basically 10 checkpoints that we run through with every guest to show them the do's and don'ts of this session. So it once again, it's just another thing that we supply in our safety system that shows our guests that we take it to a completely different level when it comes to how safe this process is. After their session is complete, we basically just give them some education on what they possibly are feeling and how they're going to feel throughout the day. They go back, they get dressed, throw all their dirty laundry and the dirty clothes, and then we take them back at the front to walk them through and guide them down a path of which package or membership is most appropriate for them. The one thing that I preach in this company, second to none, is don't sell somebody. Let's understand what that person needs and design a plan specific to that person. The last thing that I want is somebody spending hundreds and thousands of dollars when realistically they may have needed to purchase a very cost-effective package, right? Yeah. So I think that's one thing that we do very well, opposed to maybe some other cryotherapy concepts here in the U.S., is we're not there to sell. We're there to educate and then guide them down a path to where they know every dollar that's being spent is being used properly.
Cool. Now, I define wellness as being the healthiest, fittest, and happiest you can be. Kyle, what are 3 strategies or tactics to get and stay well?
Well, I think one is understanding and educating yourself on mechanisms to get you to well, right? To get you to feel amazing and to get you to love life. Sometimes people just don't know. It's the lack of education. And so I do this in every wellness service, not just cryotherapy. If you're doing your research online, that's great. Looking at reviews, that's awesome. But realistically, I tell people to go face to face, walk into these wellness centers, learn more about these services and the benefits directly from the people administering them. 2 things are going to happen from that. Number one, you're going to find out if they're actually knowledgeable about what you're going to do, right? So you're figuring out, is this the place to do it or not? Number two, you're going to educate yourself during the process. And I think the lack of knowing is where we have a lot of our issues today. I think obesity is at its highest, not because of any other reason than the lack of education. And to be quite honest with you, I'm mentally looking back into my middle school and high school years. We didn't have a real health education class, right? And so it was kind of a joke. It was kind of just like a gimme class. And I think if we just paid more attention in our schooling systems, in our education program about educating these kids at a young age, then we'll go through college. We'll go through our young adult years and look at food and the things that we consume and the way that we treat health and wellness a lot differently. I was out to dinner. I don't mean to get off track here, but I was out to dinner with a friend of mine the other day, and I was asking him why he picks certain meals to eat throughout the day. When we were at dinner, he chose a meal, and I said, "Hey, why did you pick that meal?" And he just told me because it sounded good. Well, me, when I pick a meal, I'm actually analyzing that meal, the calories, the carbs, the fats, the protein, the sugar content. I'm analyzing each meal before I even order it. And it's because I'm educated on what my body needs at a specific point in time of day. And it's just unheard of to think that way, because people just buy things because it's either an impulse or somebody else bought it, right?
Yeah. Okay. Well, Kyle, if someone wants to learn more about you or your business, iCryo, where would you like for me to send them?
Well, I would say go directly to the website. We house all of our information on the website. It's iCryo.com, I-C-R-Y-O.com. And you can also check us out on social media. We're very active on Facebook. We're very active on LinkedIn, on Instagram. I like to connect with people in multiple different ways. I think this day and age, the amount of content you can push out there should not be limited. And the amount of conversation and the ways that people can reach you out should not be limited either. So, the website definitely the number one.
Cool. Well, you can go to 40plusfitnesspodcast.com/421, and I'll be sure to have the link there. So, Kyle, thank you so much for being a part of 40 Plus Fitness.
Yeah, and I appreciate the time today, and I look forward to really honestly helping out anybody that listens to this podcast. I think you guys have done a great job creating this platform to educate people, and I really hope people tune in and plug into the information, and I hope I added some value to their lives.
You did, Kyle. Thank you. I hope you enjoyed that conversation as much as I did. You know, these heat and cold therapies and the things that are coming about, I see a tie into ancestral health. I think that's why I'm kind of fascinated by them. Obviously, our ancestors did not run into any nitrogen-fueled tanks, but it was something that they had to deal with, was temperature changes and things that were going on that in our current lifestyles, we don't have to really deal with. You know, I'm here in Bocas del Toro, Panama, and every day is somewhere between 75 and 85 degrees. It's either sunny, cloudy, or raining. That's pretty much our weather. And so I don't have to deal with a lot of the cold. I don't have to deal with what I would call extreme heat. So I don't really get those fluctuations the way that I think my ancestors did. And so I do think that that's an area where, you know, we can look to health and fitness and say, what are some things that we would have experienced in the past? It's still cold weather in the United States and other parts of the Northern Hemisphere. So maybe this is a time for you to go ahead and try a little bit of cold and just see how that works for you. Maybe not cryotherapy. I mean, I don't think I'll ever see a cryotherapy outfit here on this island, but traveling around, if I see an opportunity, it might be something that I would want to check out. So hope you enjoyed the episode. I know I enjoyed the conversation with Kyle. And if you find one of his iCryo guys out there, you know, go ahead and give it a shot if you're interested in that type of thing. It's definitely going to help you lower inflammation. It's been proven to do that. So I'd like to hear from you. If you've done cryotherapy, reach out and let me know how that went for you. I wanted to remind you, we do have a Facebook group. I want to try to really start promoting the Facebook group. It's grown to a particular size right now where it's really doing well. Some Facebook groups get too big. Some Facebook groups are just too small. We've hit a point right now where we're having some really cool, good conversations. I do weekly challenges on there. So it's a great opportunity for you to stay engaged with me throughout the week, not just with the podcast, but throughout the week on the Facebook group. So you can go to 40plusfitnesspodcast.com/group and join our Facebook group. It's a really cool group. I monitor it. I manage it. I'm the only admin, only guy on there. So when you're talking to somebody, you're talking to me. I'm reading every post on there. I'm involved with every conversation. So I do hope that you'll come out there and join us at 40plusfitnesspodcast.com/group. And then I wanted to bring up, there's still about a day or two left for you to sign up for the free trial. As I'm recording this, I'm not sure we're full yet, but I did open up the 10 slots, and there may or may not be there when you go online, but do check it out. Go to 40plusfitnesspodcast.com/trial. The cool thing about online personal training is that I'm not just with you during those two or three hours that you might be in the gym. I'm available to you when you need me. You have an app on your phone, so I'm always there to answer your questions. We have weekly group conference calls, so you can get more in-depth answers than you might get from a text or an email. And then, of course, I'm right there in the Facebook group. So we have a private Facebook group just for the trainees. And so that's where you can also ask for accountability, be a part of other like-minded people that really want to push to help you be better. The conversations we have during the weekly group calls are sometimes pretty, pretty cool. I learn a lot. They learn a lot. It's just a really enjoyable environment. I love doing the online personal training because it lets me be so much more engaged with you to help you meet your health and fitness goals. So I do hope you'll check it out. Go to 40plusfitnesspodcast.com/trial and get the 14-day free trial to 40 Plus Fitness online personal training. Last time, it's 40plusfitnesspodcast.com/trial. Go ahead and get out there now because there's may only be a few more slots left. And of course, there's only another like 24 hours or so until this goes offline. So check it out. Next time on the 40 Plus Fitness Podcast, we discuss dealing with viruses. Until then, have a happy and healthy week.